Blog Talk Radio.
To the people and the Gentiles, Tommy Hart, the one the authorized version ascribes the name Lord God is Real, appears among us with great news. A former preacher of the church and author of the Book of the Law of God, All Things, the Demonstrated Power of God, Lord God would like to share what he has discovered during what is now a 39-year study of the Authorized Version Bible, also known as the King James Bible, coming from the Vatican. He comes to show Bible truths that have been hidden throughout Bible content. Lord God is Real decrypts all things kept silent and in secret inside the pages of the AVB, aka the KJV, all with a level-headed, easy-to-follow analysis unlike any other. His Excellency logically restructures the AVB's confusing text and separates the subject matter into two categories, truth and fiction. He also defines with clarity what is meant by the terms Lord, in all caps, Christ, God, many other titles, and who claims them now in this day. His Majesty concludes, the Authorized Version Bible, written in the year 1611, is primarily a law book, a history book, a legal document, and the first law between the Pope of Rome, the papacy, and the Gentiles. In other words, those who are classified as white people. Knowing the AVB, written during the conquest of Africa, Lord God exposes the many laws of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelations, which include the law of Passover, the law of God, and the law of the curse carried out on African black people worldwide. It is established the Vatican is a governmental body institution, hiding in plain view under the cloak of religion. Lord God is here because the Vatican called for him in the pages of the AVB. So without further ado, it is with great enthusiasm I bring before you the host of the show. Please join me in a warm round of applause, the magnificent Lord God is Real.
James 5:16 says, confess your faults. So the Gentiles confess their faults. A record of their confession is in the Authorized Version Bible. Confession, this is their confession. 1, Isaiah 28:15. We have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Confession 2, 2 Corinthians 4:5. The Gentiles say, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. As we go through these, remember confession. To confess means to state a fault. Admit a fault. 3, 1 Corinthians 15:14, our preaching is vain. 4, 1 Thessalonians 4:5, our labor be in vain. 5, James 1:26, this man's religion is vain. Speaking of the Christian religion, Christianity, which teaches the faith which is in Christ Jesus. 6, 1 Corinthians 15:17, your faith is vain. 7, 1 Corinthians 15:2, you have believed in vain. Therefore, knowing these things, what should you do? Acts 14:15 gives an answer. You should turn from these vanities to the living God. What are the vanities? The vanities are turning from Christ Jesus the Lord, vanity of the preaching, the Christian preaching, teaching, the vanity of the labor, the vanity being the Christian religion. Okay? You should turn from these vanities to the living God. That's very important, the ending part of it, just as important as the first. Turning from the vanities, but that's not all, and turning to the living God. That is in agreement with these things I have brought before you before. These things being, depart from the faith, depart from evil, there come a falling away, a deserting, hate the evil, love the good, leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ, choose the good and refuse the evil, forsake the foolish and live, receiving the end of your faith, have faith in God, and go in the way of understanding. The Gentiles further confess the following. Exodus 9:27. I and my people are wicked. Remember, the Bible speaks for the Gentiles. 1 Corinthians 15:19. The statement with regard to the Gentiles, concerning the Gentiles, listen to this. We are of all men most miserable. That is to say, we are of all men most wretched. We are of all men most despicable. We are of all men most deserving to be despised. Confessions of the Gentiles. Why are they? Why do they admit that they are so wretched and deserving to be despised? Because of their evil deeds. One deed. The deed of the destruction of black people. The deed of cursing black people. The deed of enslaving black people. The deed of dehumanizing black people. The deed of pauperizing black people. The deed of buying black people. The deed of selling black people, the deed of snatching black babies, bringing total destruction to the black family, the deed of the international slave trade, and other things. So they admit they are wretched and are of all men most deserving to be despised. But that's not all their deeds, though. The deed that is at hand now, that we are discussing now, the deed of promoting and advocating, pushing the faith which is in Christ Jesus. That should have been abolished along with slavery back in the days of old. But they did not stop the false teaching. They still do the false teaching up to this present time. That is a wicked deed. It is evil, very bad, to fool people. It is very bad to deceive people. Fraud is a very bad thing. Fraud is a wicked deed. To give or play a gimmick on people, give them lies, make them think that the lies are the truth, that is very bad. No wonder the Gentiles say, we are of all men most wretched, we are of all men most despicable, we are of all men most deserving to be despised. When you put what they did to black people together, and when you add their gimmick and their ongoing gimmick, it is clear why they say this. And apparently they want everyone to know it because they put it in the Bible. Now, who can dispute these things when these things are in the Bible? And I want to highlight that, emphasize that. The statement in 1 Corinthians 15:19, their admission, we are of all men most wicked. And Exodus 9:27, I and my people are wicked. So if someone says, hey, the Gentiles are a wicked people, they're stating the truth. The Gentiles have already admitted that. It's written. It's in the book. Isn't that something? It's in the book, and it can't be taken away. All right? Question to be answered, Romans 7:7. Is the law sin? In order to answer the question appropriately and correctly, it is necessary that we know what law is being spoken of. Is the law sin? Now, the things that I named, the deeds, some of the deeds of the Gentiles, like enslaving black people, dehumanizing black people, cursing black people, teaching the false faith, which is in Christ Jesus, all of those things are wrong. They are wrong. Okay? Now, is the law sin? Let's go to Romans 10. No? Yeah, Romans 10. Let's go to Romans 10. Okay, Romans 10, verse. Start with verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Okay, the we being the Gentiles. The word of faith which we, the Gentiles, preach. What is that word? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. What did we say? What did I say confess means? It means to admit a fault. Okay, what is the fault here? It says confess your fault. The first statement I read in this program, confess your faults. Okay, this says if thou shalt confess thy fault, you know, admit thy fault. What is the fault? The Lord Jesus. There it is. That's the fault. What is the fault? The Lord Jesus. That's what it says here in Romans 10:9. And shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Is that statement true or is it false? Is this part right here, believe in thine heart that God hath raised him, who? Lord Jesus, from the dead. Is that correct? the statement is not correct to raise one from the dead. And I take that to mean just what it says without any interpretation and stating, well, it says this, but it really means this. Question: has God raised Jesus from the dead? Answer: no, God has not raised Jesus from the dead. Okay. Let's go to Job 14. On the way to Job 14, let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Listen, start with verse 2. Might as well start with verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand. Now, another question is raised here. What is the gospel? Well, let's read on. By which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached to you, unless you have believed in vain. Now, we know black people have believed in vain. The Gentiles admitted that in their confessions read at the beginning of the program. Black people have believed in vain. Most black people have believed in the teaching, the faith that is concerning Christ Jesus. All they who have believed that is they have believed in vain. Now, for verse 3, for I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Now, the scripture says that it speaks of Jesus and says, who is called the Christ, Jesus who is called Christ. Okay. So you have Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, and you have Jesus. Okay. Now, he said, I declare to you the gospel. What is the gospel? Do the Gentiles preach the gospel? The Gentiles preach the faith which concerns Jesus, the faith which is in Christ Jesus. That's what they preach. They preach Jesus. They said that in the confession, what I read. We preach Jesus. Okay? But what is the gospel? Are they, when they preach, in their preaching of Jesus, what they have given to black people, the information on Jesus, is that the gospel? Well, let's look at it. He said here how that Christ died for our sins. They preach to black people, and they gave black people the faith having to do with Jesus dying for their sins. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The Christians preach? Jesus died for your sins. Mm-hmm. And they call that the gospel. But is that the gospel? No, that is not the gospel. To find out what the gospel is, we have to go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those four books that are in the Bible. And then we have to know a little bit about the law of Moses. We have to know about the law of the Sabbath. What is that law? What's the penalty for breaking that law? who's under that law. And then when we know those things, well, those things constitute the gospel. Those things are what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are about. So to know the gospel, we have to know Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we have to know have knowledge of the Sabbath, that law, and its a penalty for breaking the law. Now, in the Gospels, those books are called the Gospel of John, the Gospel of Matthew, etc. Okay, who and what is Jesus? Jesus is what in the Gospels, in your Bible, in the Authorized Version Bible, one who is born under the law. What law? One law he is born under is the law of the Sabbath. Let's get this very clearly. Law of the Sabbath. The last testament, the last commandment in the Old Testament before you turn your page and enter into the New Testament, the last commandment says, the last commandment in the Old Testament says, remember ye the law of Moses. The law of the Sabbath is one of those laws, one law of Moses. One of the laws of Moses. Remember that. And the law of the Sabbath said to the people that were under it, says, don't do any work on the Sabbath day. Whosoever does any work on the Sabbath day, that soul shall surely be put to death. So you have, remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Okay? 6 days, and it spells it out, 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is there. Do not do any work on the Sabbath day. Now, Bible characters, listen to me carefully, are under the law of the Sabbath. The law of the Sabbath is not for real life. Okay? Law of the Sabbath is for the characters in the Bible. Okay? One such character is Jesus when we turn the page from the Old Testament and enter into the New Testament. Jesus and his people, they are under the law of the Sabbath. And long story short, of course, you can read it, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They talk about, they focus on Jesus and his breaking of the law. They focus on Jesus and his refusal to keep and obey the law of the Sabbath. But what Jesus does, he rests 6 days, listen to me, and he works on the Sabbath day, the seventh day. That's what he does in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'll say it again. He rests 6 days from his labor. And the seventh day, he works. He does the reverse of the law of the Sabbath. So, in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is Jesus a righteous character or an unrighteous character? Obviously, he's an unrighteous character because he breaks laws. Now, the law of the Sabbath is not the only law that or that he breaks in those books. He breaks other laws, but it just takes only one law. Okay? Just takes one. The law of the Sabbath. The law of the Sabbath, breaking the law of the Sabbath, carries the death penalty. Long story short, Jesus was finally caught by the authorities, tried, found guilty, and he received the penalty for breaking the law of the Sabbath, which is death. And the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, show the character Jesus being put to death. Why was he put to death? He was put to death for his own sin. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and have to have knowledge of the law of the Sabbath. So he was put to death for his own sins. They say here in 1 Corinthians 15:3, and they called, and it said, in verse 1, I declare to you the gospel, which I preached to you, which also ye have received, and wherein you stand. That's the gospel, what I just described and just presented to you. That's the gospel, that Jesus died. He was put to death for his own sin. Okay? That's the gospel. Black people haven't been preached that by the Gentiles, and neither by themselves since they started preaching after enslavement. After enslavement, black people took up the act of committing fraud and teaching the false teaching given to them during their enslavement to the Gentiles. They preach the same false message that they receive. It's time for a change. It's time to get it right. It's time to get it right. That number one, Jesus in the Bible is a fictitious character. And number two, Jesus in the Bible is a lawbreaker. And number three, Jesus in the Bible was put to death for his own sin or crime, whichever word you want to use, sin or crime. What is a crime? Breaking of a law. What is a sin? Breaking of a law. Okay? Okay? It could be a moral law. It could be an otherwise, you know, law, but it's breaking of a law. Okay? Okay. Moral law, statute, breaking of the law. Now, the law of the Sabbath is a, in the Bible, is a statute law. Okay? Okay. Now, so we know what the gospel is now. Don't black people need to tell all other black people, every black person who comes into this knowledge, that we've been tricked, we've been lied to? That's why it says here in 1 Corinthians 15:2, you have believed in vain. You have believed a lie. You have believed a fictitious story. Yes, you have been tricked. Okay, it's time to get it right. It's time to get the story right. We can read now. We can read now. Been freed over here in America going on 150 years. And the gospel been there in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the Authorized Version Bible, commonly called King James Version. It's been there all these years. The King James Version is at least now 400 years old. The Authorized Version Bible, 400 years old, going on 4 and 1 years old. We've been freed in America, going on 150 years, and we fail to see that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the character Jesus was put to death for his own sin. Just because the Gentiles told you, Jesus died for your sin. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? All the many preachers, men and women, I'm talking about among black people, people who supposedly many of them have gone to theological school, gone to seminaries and all like that. It's a shame. It's a disgrace. It's a disgrace. The gospel right there in black and white. In the Bible, black and white, and red, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, And somewhere in the Gospels there, they cite the law of the Sabbath. They cite it. You're breaking the law of the Sabbath, you know. The law says you're supposed to work 6 days. Rest the seventh day, don't do any work on the seventh day. Here you are, you rest in 6 days, and you working on the one day the law says don't work on. How could black men and women miss this? Theological seminary degree, a whole nine yards. How can they miss this? And it's in black and white and red in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It is a disgrace. Black ministers are a disgrace. It's a shame. Just because the Gentiles told them Jesus died for your sins. We have already determined the Gentiles cannot be cut to tell the truth. I have already determined that. I have told you that. So they put it in a book. They put the truth in a book. Isn't that simple? The Gentiles cannot be trusted to tell the truth, but they put the truth in a book called the Authorized Version Bible, commonly called King James Version. Real simple. And they must not care that you know to find out the truth, because they allowed you to have access to the book. Isn't that something? And they still tell you Jesus died for your sins, and the book shows something totally different. The man, the character dying for his own. And black people worldwide have not gotten that. Worldwide. What is wrong? I am one individual. I come along and I read and I say, wait a minute. I was told Jesus died for my sins. But in the Bible, when I read it, I see he died for his own sin. Something is wrong. Somebody lied to me. Well, men lied to me. The Bible did not lie. And I chose to believe the Bible, the book that the preachers put in front of them when they come forth to speak. Black preachers, they front the Bible. They put the Bible before them. It's a shame. This is awful. Yes, it needs to be talked about and talked about and talked about, just like they talk, just like the Christians talk about the lie. Well, the truth needs to be talked about and talked about and talked about and advocated and promoted. Why? So the people can find out the truth, so they can know the truth, so they can get the truth. So don't say I'm speaking the same thing over and over. Yes, I am. That's the message. Jesus died for his own sins, and you did too. That's the message. You need to get untricked. You need to get untricked because somebody fooled you, and they fooled your mama. Fooled her too, and your dad. Just like you fooling your children, if you have it. It's time we get it right. And we can get it right now because one has come. One has gone and gotten it right and bringing it forth to you, laying it out before you, real, clear, and in an easy and understandable way, easy to understand way, laying it out for you. You don't have to do any work. Only thing you have to do is just hear. Because that's what you did with that, what came from the Gentiles. You just heard it. Gentiles ain't proved nothing to you. They don't even have a body to show Jesus existed, which he didn't. You know what I'm saying? But they tell you he's real, and he died, he rose again. They tell you anything, and that he ascended into heaven, and that one day he's coming back and going to get you and rapture you up and take you to that place in the sky by and by. That's what they tell you. Ain't proved nothing to you. And you ate the whole thing up, hook, line, and sinker. You swallowed it all. When I say you, I'm talking about black people as a whole. As a whole. That's a shame. And I'm talking about black people worldwide. This is nothing to play with. Nothing to play with. People thinking they got the truth and ain't got nothing but a lie. Thinking they got the truth and got nothing but a lie. The Gentiles confess, you have believed in vain. They admit, you have believed in vain. So what you gonna do? What you gonna do? You know it. Those of you who have heard, those who haven't heard, you should what? Turn away from the faith. Turn away from the lying story about Jesus dying for your sin. And the whole Jesus story that they gave you. Turn from these vanities to the living God who brings to you truth. Truth, and that's it. He comes to you with truth. He comes to you with knowledge and understanding, which you have not gotten before he came. The living God comes to you with salvation. Because you need to be saved. From what? From deception. A whole race of people taken in deception. Caught in deception. By a lie coming from their stated enemy. The only way out is by the truth that comes from God. And it's called salvation. The same Bible, Authorized Version, says the just shall be delivered. Well, by knowledge shall the just be delivered. By knowledge. By knowledge. What knowledge? Knowledge of the truth. Knowledge of the truth. Truth is your salvation. The truth which comes from God. Because if you have it, you didn't get it on your own. The truth which comes from the living God and not a fictitious God up in the sky somewhere, which the Gentiles told also. Pie in the sky by and by. So we can understand it right now. We can understand the matter right now. Understand. It's time to get it right. Yes, it is. That means also it's time to get the truth. It's time to know the truth. It's time to obey the truth. Depart from the faith. The Bible has already predicted many shall depart from the faith. What faith? Christian faith. Faith which is in Christ Jesus. Because the question is asked, faith save him? That question is found in the book of James. I'll turn to it to make sure. James chapter 2, I believe. James chapter 2, verse 14. Can faith save him? Can faith in Christ Jesus save him? Can faith in Christ Jesus save you? Because that's what's been preached to you, that faith in Christ Jesus can save you. No. No. You have believed in vain. Your faith in a fictitious Jesus cannot save you. That's a big lie they told to us. That's a big lie. And it's worldwide. Again, no wonder they say we are of all men most miserable, most wretched, most deserving to be despised. That's what they say in their holy book. I mean, have we gotten there? Have we gotten that? They told you, and they put a statement in the Bible, the wicked ones, and the Bible evidences the statement that, they told the slaves, that skipped my mind, pardon me, maybe it'll come back later, but anyway. Faith in Christ Jesus, which has been preached to you, black people, cannot save you. It's all a lie. It's a gimmick. It's a trick. Christianity is deceitful. The Bible says, I hate every false way. I know it's written two times in the book of Psalm 119. I hate every false way, and Christianity is found to be a false way. It misdirects people, misteaches people deliberately, the Gentiles do. This is a very serious matter. Very serious. Can't faith save him? No, it cannot. Okay. So we found out that faith which concerns the character Jesus cannot save you. We find out that it is a gimmick that the enemy, the Gentiles, played against us. We find out that the faith which is in Christ Jesus is an evil. Okay. We find out that Christianity, which espouses, which teaches the faith which is in Christ Jesus, should have been abolished right along with slavery when it was abolished. But we find out that now the Gentiles continue to teach and preach Jesus. That's a fault. That's iniquity. They continue to teach and preach that which is false. That's in the book of Acts. Anyway, I brought that up. I brought that out the last time we talked, not long ago. I brought that out. Okay. They continue to teach and preach Christ Jesus. There it is. Acts 5, verse 42. They who, the Gentiles, cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. They are preaching that lie to this very day. And it should have been getting it real clearly. You get it. We're getting the truth. We're learning the truth. The thing is, we should walk in the truth and walk in light of the truth. We should cherish the truth because the truth is our salvation. Yes, and we should be thankful for the one and to the one who brings us the truth, the living God. Let me show you something. If you will, I'm getting my dictionary right now. Okay. And I'm turning to the F section of my dictionary, and I'm looking for Fool's Paradise. Fool's Paradise. And I have found it here. And what is the definition given for Fool's Paradise? It says here, Webster says, a state of deceptive happiness based on illusions or delusions. That's the state I have found black people to be. The state of Fool's Paradise. Deceptive happiness. You know, they rejoice in Jesus. They rejoice in the fictitious character. They rejoice in the lie, the faith that is based on lies. They rejoice in the faith that is pure gimmickry. It's a gimmick. Remember that, Fool's Paradise. And think about Christians, those who have been deceived. A state of deceptive happiness based on illusions or delusions. Are you in Fool's Paradise? Are you? Do you rejoice in Jesus? Do any of your people rejoice in Jesus? Any of your people, your loved ones, rejoice in the faith which is in Christ Jesus? Fool's Paradise. And as I say, they don't know that they're deceived. And some might even hear me and still not care that they are deceived. And try to defend that which is indefensible. The Christian faith, the faith which is in Christ Jesus, cannot be defended. The Bible is against it. That's why it tells you to depart from it. To depart from, do good and depart from evil. The evil of the Christian faith. Many shall depart from the faith. Many shall depart from the Christian faith. Many shall depart from the faith which concerns Christ Jesus. Because it's found to be false. What other reason do you have to stay with it? It's found to be false. You cannot defend it. It cannot save you. You have believed in vain. That's it. That's it. I have shown you, black people, your fault. Your fault is what? Believing in the lie. Your fault is the faith which is in Christ Jesus. That's your fault. I showed you your fault, and I showed you the way out. forsake the foolish and live. Faith in Christ Jesus, the Christian faith, is a foolish thing. It is an evil thing. Forsake the foolish and live. You can live. I have told you, you can live without Jesus. Experience it. Life without Jesus. Life without the lie. Life apart from that which is not real, that which is not true. You can live. Forsake the foolish and live. Liars tell you to get Jesus and live. They don't tell you anything, don't they? Even the lying black preachers, they tell you get Jesus and live. You're not living if you don't have Jesus. Oh, boy, all of that contrary to Bible content, all of it, every bit of it. What does it take? Many children have learned this at a very young age. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me. No, no, it doesn't. Little ones can be lost, something. A lie. It cannot be overstated. Right now, this day, this is a Sunday morning. And all the lies that's going to be told. And where are they going to be told? Not in a club or not at a joint somewhere. They're going to be told in what they call church houses. They're going to be lied to in the church. So I say, if you want the truth, do not go to church. You won't get it. If you're looking for the truth and you're going from church to church to find it, you won't find it. Truth is in God. The living God, the real, true God, the real, true, living God. Remember that. Fool's paradise, a state of deceptive happiness. Oh, they sing the song. They even dance, praising Jesus, who they call the Lord, many of them. The biggest story, the greatest story that's ever been told, the lie concerning Jesus. Okay. It's time for a change. It's time for a change. It's time for the truth. Just simple with that. It's time for the truth. Let the truth be told. I'm telling the truth. Okay. As soon as I pull my page back up, I'll continue. Okay, getting to it now. Getting to it. Coming up. Okay, and let's see where we stopped. I know we stopped with something having to do with the resurrection, I believe. Okay. Okay, 1 Corinthians, back to 1 Corinthians 15. And I know I said I would go to Job 14, so I've got to do that too. Okay. Listen, let me finish reading this in 1 Corinthians 15, starting now with verse, at the end of verse 2. you have believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ Jesus, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures. Okay, he says here, that which he received. Okay. All right, let's move on. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. Now, deeper into 15, verse 11, therefore, whether it were I or they, listen, so we preach and so you believed. So the Gentiles preached, you know, telling lies. Jesus died for your sins. Jesus rose again for your justification, this and that. So we preach. So you, black people, believed. You believed the lie. Okay? Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, listen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Now, that's a confession right there. You remember that when I read the Gentile confession? Okay, that our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God, concerning God, that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. That's confession right there. Your faith is vain. You are yet in your sins. The Gentiles are found to be yet operating in their sin. They ceased not to teach and preach Christ Jesus. They are still in their sins. They are still involved with their sin. The Gentiles are. The question is, is there a resurrection of the dead? Do the dead rise? Let's turn to Job 14. Okay. Here's the question. They placed the question in Job 14:14. The question. Do the dead rise? Is there a resurrection of the dead? Job 14:14. If a man dies, shall he live again? That's real clear. If he dies, ain't no spiritual talk or nothing like that. That's a straightforward question. If a man dies, shall he live again? Now, this question is this is a real thing in this chapter here. Oftentimes, when it asks a question, the Bible asks a question and then answers the question. The question and answers are separate. You know, they're usually not in the same chapter, usually not in the same book. You know, okay. But this one, asks the question and the answer is found in the same chapter. If a man dies, shall he live again? Okay, let's go up to verse 10. But man died and wasteth away. Yeah. Man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? As the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up. Listen, so this is the answer. So man lieth down, he dies, and riseth not. Straightforward statement. Man lies down, even if somebody has to lay him down. He's dead, he lies down, and he rises not. Simple question, simple answer. Simple question, simple answer. If a man dies, shall he live again? Man lies down, and he rises not. Okay? And he rises not till the heavens be no more. They shall not awake, nor be raised out of their sleep. Talking about the sleep of death. That's it. Now, back to, so men do not rise from the dead. When the last time you heard about rising from the dead? Okay. 1 Corinthians 15. Now, listen, 1 Corinthians 15, 13, if there be no resurrection of the dead, and we can agree to that, that there's no resurrection of the dead, as much as we know, as much as man can know, the dead lies down, and they rise not. That's what we do know. We have not experienced anyone in real life who has died and have been raised from the dead. And to get a real good understanding of this, raised from the dead, okay, where the dead for the most part? For the most part, they're in a cemetery. You haven't heard of anybody having died and been put on a coffin and buried, declared dead and buried, coming back from the dead, getting out of that tomb and coming back. It's unknown. I mean, it's a thing that has not occurred. Okay? So, if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. So, for as much as we know, men do not rise from the dead, so then, if that be the case, then Christ is not raised from the dead. But let's get all of this straight right here and skip the rhetoric. Jesus in the Bible is a fictitious character. Period. That's it. End of story. End of story. He's a fictitious character. And a fictitious character, you know, those who write fiction, you know, you can make in fiction, you can do whatever you want to do. You know, do whatever you want to do. In fiction, writing fiction, your character can walk on water, you can do anything. Okay, but Jesus is a fictitious character, and your faith, which is in Christ Jesus, is vain. End of story. Okay. Let's move on. Try to finish this. I answered the question, is the law sin? This law that is found in Romans 10, which says, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's false information. That is false information. God has not raised Jesus from the dead. God has not raised Christ from the dead. God has not raised anyone from the dead. Okay? Okay. So we got that. That is the law right there. That is sin. Right there in Romans 10, verse 9. Believe in thine heart that God has raised him, Lord Jesus, from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That is sin, because that is a lie. That's misinstructing people, giving people wrong information. That's deceiving people. Okay? So, religionists, Gentile religionists, are found to be what? False witnesses of God, because they testified what? They testified that God raised Jesus from the dead, when God has not raised Jesus from the dead. Okay? And same with this verse, Romans 10:9, that is a lie. Okay? And many people have believed the lie that God raised Jesus from the dead. The basis of religion, basis of Gentile religion, the Gentiles' religion of Christianity. That's his basis. God raised Jesus from the dead. That's all that. Okay? So, we see that in working with Scripture, one has to be very careful. One has to know the truth of things. Okay? Let's finish this. So, I have identified the law that is sin. Okay? God has not raised Jesus from the dead. And Jesus in the Bible is a fictitious character. God wouldn't waste time playing with him anyway. He's a fictitious character. Okay, that's the only thing you need to know about Jesus. He's a fictitious character. And the Gentiles lied to you about him. Okay, now, this is stated in Habakkuk 1:4 is relevant. And what does it say? It says, wrong judgment proceeded. That's wrong judgment given in Romans 10, verse 9. Romans 10, verse 9. In Romans 10, verse 9, wrong judgment proceeds. The wrong judgment is, believe in thine heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's a wrong judgment. Wrong judgment proceeds. From who? From the liars. Who are the liars? The Christians are always liars. Remember that statement? The Christians are liars. The Christians are always liars. They're always lying. They're going to be lying a lot today in church. Okay? All right? So I answered the question, is the law sin? I gave you that law that is found to be sin and showed you that wrong judgment has proceeded. Judgment against the faith concerning Christ Jesus, Psalm 7, 9, Deuteronomy 19, Deuteronomy 19, 20. Let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end. Speaking about the faith that is in Christ Jesus. Okay, let it come to an end. So shalt thou put away the evil that is among you, people. Henceforth, commit no more any such evil. That is a judgment against Christianity, against the Christian faith, against the faith that is in Christ Jesus. That is what the Gentiles ought to do. That is what the people ought to do. Put the evil away from among them. Let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end. Okay, and do not commit that anymore. It should have been ended, like I said, along with slavery. That is a judgment against Christianity. But the Gentiles have not carried out that judgment. My finding, Acts 5:42, the Gentiles have not ceased to teach and preach Jesus Christ. My conclusion on that matter, 1 Corinthians 15:17, the Gentiles are yet in their sins. They are yet involved with their sins. Okay? And they are commanded to do away with the teaching of Jesus. Put away Christianity, depart from the faith as you are commanded to forsake the foolish and live and go in the way of understanding. I give understanding. Okay, now, this statement says in John 8:32, I think it's verse 8:32. It says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I teach the truth. If you hear me, you get the truth. You receive the truth. Those who hear and receive the truth are that truth makes them free. Free from what? Free from deception. Free from deception, which is a big deal. Big deal. And in that truth is your salvation. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now we know what that means. And we know what the truth is, and we know what the truth is about. And when we know that, we know what salvation is about. Salvation, from the Bible, salvation has to do with being saved from the deception, being saved from the lie. Salvation is turning away from those vanities that I laid out at the beginning of the program to the living God. Salvation is departing from evil and turning to the living God. Salvation is forsaking the foolish and live and going in the way of understanding, the understanding which comes from God only. That's salvation, people. That's salvation. That's what I offer. That's what I give. Salvation. The salvation that comes from God alone. That is it for today. Have you departed from evil? Have you led your family in departing from evil? Or anybody, a friend or friends? You know, they told you this. They said, love your enemies. You know, the enemy said that. They said, and it's recorded in Scripture. Scripture has a record of it. They told the Gentiles, told the slaves to love their enemies. But they did not tell the slaves that their enemies would love them. Seems like the complete statement would say, love your enemies and your enemies would love you. But it doesn't say that. It just says, love your enemies. Isn't that something? Love your enemies when you know your enemy hates you. Bad advice. Bad counsel. Because the Gentiles don't even live by that. If they love their enemies, they wouldn't bomb their enemies. Would they? No, they wouldn't. You can't love your enemy. Enemy is against you. So, knowing the truth, depart from evil and do good, forsake the foolish and live. Many shall depart from the faith. Have you departed from the faith yet? I have. What are you waiting on? Have you told others about this truth? If so, well and good. If not, what are you waiting on? What are you afraid of? They need deliverance. They need to know the truth. Are you telling them? Until the next time.